What's up? Welcome to the Patriots Podcast. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
You guys are tuning in to the Week 11 Preview Edition. This is going to be the first rematch of the season. Patriots hosting the Buffalo Bills for the rematch of the Week 2 game when we went to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
You guys remember that game? What was it? 40-32, I believe. And it was like 40-9 before that.
Yep.
Something along those, or 37-9, something like that. And so, yeah, first rematch of the season, fourth game in the AFC East.
It's going to be on Monday Night Football, baby. John Gruden doing the announcements. Can't wait.
Be excellent. So, yeah, and for some reason, I think I mentioned this last time, that the Bills haven't been on Monday Night Football since 2009. And I don't know why they haven't been on Monday Night Football for five consecutive seasons. But do you remember that game in 2009?
Was that when they got probably destroyed or something?
No, it was the first game of the season. Okay. And it was against the Patriots on Monday Night Football. And they were wearing throwback jerseys. And the Bills were beating up on us. It was Tom Brady's first game back after his ACL tear.
Okay.
And
and came back and won, right?
Yeah, we were getting beat up, and everybody was like, yeah, Pats are going to put up like 60, Brady's back. But the Bills' defense like kind of shut us down, and then we came back, and we had two fourth-quarter touchdowns to Ben Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And we won the game like 19-18 or something ridiculous like that. Is this ringing bells?
Oh, yeah, when Watson caught it in the end of the back of the end zone for the second touchdown, I think, right?
Yeah, it was a back-shoulder pass.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was pretty good.
I think both of those touchdowns were in like the last 2 or 3 minutes. I think they fumbled the kickoff.
Quick. Yeah, it was really quick. It didn't look too good, but then, I mean, it was the Patriots versus the Bills, so you knew they were going to pull it out. But I was very nervous for that game, or during the game at least.
So anyway, this is, I suppose, Monday Night Football rematch of that game. It's going to be in Gillette Stadium, so the Pats should be nice and comfortable. I mean, when they lost to the Bills last year at the end of the season, was that in Gillette or was that in Buffalo?
I think that was in Buffalo.
Okay, so they still have some sort of winning streak in Gillette against the Bills.
I'm sure they do.
What a ridiculous way to end like a 11-year streak of dominance with sitting like half your team.
Yeah, right. Buffalo.
This matchup is not that different than what we saw in Week 2. I mean, in terms of the Patriots side of the ball, they're missing Deion Lewis, who was a big factor in that game. We're missing Julian Edelman, who is always a big factor.
He had two touchdowns in that game.
He had two touchdowns, that's right. And the Bills are missing Kyle Williams. I think he's already been ruled out. Defensive tackle Kyle Williams.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, and then I was looking at the injury report, and it looks like Jamie Collins missed practice today, as did Justin Coleman, the third cornerback. And then on the Bills side, Kyle Williams, obviously, and Leotis McKelvin, who is coming back. But it looks like he's listed with an illness, so it's probably not related to why he missed like the first 8 weeks of the season. You guys might remember Leotis McKelvin. I think he might have even gone to some Pro Bowls as a cornerback. He's a former real high draft pick. I think he's going to be playing some safety for them now as he kind of moves back into the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be interesting. So now that we are 10 weeks into the season and not 1 week in the season like the last time we played the Bills, we can actually look at some stats, see how they're doing. So the Bills right now rank 6th in scoring, which really surprised me. I didn't think they were a top 6 scoring team in the NFL, especially with Tyrod Taylor missing a couple games.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, so they're scoring 25.7 points per game, where the Patriots are scoring 33.6, I believe, which is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the Bills' stats, I'll just run through them real quick. Offensively, 23rd in total yards, 29th in passing, 2nd overall in rushing, 142 yards rushing per game. Defensively, they're 15th in scoring, 23 points per game. They are 16th in total defense, 18th against the pass, 9th against the rush. They are also number one in penalties and penalty yards in the NFL.
Yep. No surprises there, really.
No surprises? How about that defense? 16th in the league? I thought this was going to be a stellar defense, and they finished like second or third last year.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm looking at it the standpoint of like how they guess they've done up to this point. Sure, if you told me that at the beginning of the year, I'd be surprised. But after they played us and kind of trickled along there, I mean, it's not a huge surprise for whatever reason. I don't know if it's funny. It seems like, you know, they have a great D line, which is usually you would think Rex Ryan would do great things with. But he seems to be, from complaints from those teammates, that he's, you know, dropping them in coverage and they're not doing things they're comfortable with, or they weren't.
Like he's getting too fancy?
Yeah, like these guys are just could overpower every offensive line kind of if they felt like it, and they're not being allowed to.
I suppose. They've also missed some time. Besides Kyle Williams, Mario Williams has missed some time.
Yeah.
Darius obviously was suspended for, like, I think only one game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
And Aaron Williams, that safety who got taken off in the ambulance when we played them, he hasn't come back yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they've had some injuries, but I would have expected this defense. You take like the number three defense in the league, and then you add Rex Ryan to that, you would expect them to at least hold that ranking, and they're
pretty good.
They just haven't. So this Bills offense, sixth in scoring, but 23rd in total offense. The thing that really sticks out is number two overall in rushing, 142 yards per game. Obviously, that has a lot to do with Shady McCoy being back there, Carlos Williams, who has like six consecutive games with a touchdown as a rookie running back, and mm-hmm. obviously Tyrod Taylor running from the quarterback position.
And it's a Rex Ryan coach team who always runs first and asks questions later type thing.
Exactly. So from the Patriots' perspective, you got to stop this running game, and it's going to come out of a lot of shotgun runs. There's some under center runs, particularly with Carlos Williams, because he's more of a downhill back. But you're going to have some read option plays. You're going to have some quarterback runs. You're going to have scrambles. I mean, what are you going to do to defend? Let's just start with the called rushing plays. What are you going to do about that?
Okay. Well, if you look at the first game, they weren't too successful at doing, you know, defending the run. They gave up, what, 150, 60, 70 yards, something around those lines. Since then, we've actually gotten really good against the run. At first, people said, first couple of games of the season, we sucked at it. We did have Jamie Collins for this game. We don't have him right now. We're probably not going to have him for this game. You know, it doesn't seem like they're going to need to do much. I mean, the last couple of weeks, they've faced some okay rushing teams and really haven't had to divert a lot of attention to it. And they've done pretty good. So if they put in, you know, seven guys in the box, and maybe eight depending on the formation, I think they'll be okay, because we've seen a lot of progress out of what's his name? Malcolm Brown. Branch has been playing really good. Ninkovich has been good, solid against the run. Ninkovich and I think Jones the last couple of weeks have been doing their best job at setting the edge, which is usually a problem for them if the run is, you know, eating us up. And just keep that rotation really fresh at the D tackles. You know, keep them rotating so none of them get too tired. But, I mean, I don't think they're going to really, you know, seven guys in the box, I think they might be able to do it.
I think so, too. Yeah, I mean, they got the number two rushing offense in the NFL. We have the number one rushing defense in the NFL.
What? We have the number one rushing defense right now?
Yeah, number one in terms of yards per game. Number one really? Rushing defense in the NFL, yeah.
Wow.
I know, right?
That's pretty impressive. I didn't know we were doing that good against the run.
How about them Pats, yo?
What's our defense ranked overall?
15th in total defense.
Wow, are that bad against the pass?
We're 22nd against the pass. But, I mean, a lot of this happens because we've been up so much in games, so they pass right. a lot and they don't run a lot. So maybe we're not the best at, I mean, is yards per carry a better thing to look at? I'm not sure. But we do have a very good rushing defense. We got a rotation of at least four big, fat defensive tackles, and then the fifth being Dominic Easley. I wouldn't put him as a run-stuffing D-tackle, but he can be very effective against running plays with the penetration he can get.
Right. Yeah, he can blow up plays in the backfield. And was he playing in this game? I don't think he was.
I'm not sure if he played the first game, but he really emerged later on, like mid-season. Yeah. He emerged.
Right. So, I mean, that's an added bonus to the defense just in that alone.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stat sheet right now. He didn't register on the stat sheet, so who knows if he actually played or not. But clearly didn't have that much of an impact. Anyway, So we got all these D tackles that we can keep really fresh, and a lot of them are really good run stuffers. Like Alan Branch, I think, has played terrific this season. He's monstrous. We got Siliga, who is one of the widest guys you'll see on the football field. He looks like a sumo wrestler out there. And like you said, Malcolm Brown's playing better. We got Akeem Hicks, who we didn't have in that game, which just adds more layers of depth.
Yep.
And he's also he's built like Alan Branch. I think he's like 6'5", 340 or something. So we got some big dudes. And then on the edge, Ninkovic, I think, really suffered, or he really struggled, rather, against the Bills in that first game, setting the edge. And since then, I think he's been playing stellar against the run. I think Chandler Jones is playing really well against the run, too. He's certainly having his best season. And then you add Sheard to that, who got his feet wet last week, getting back in the game. And so he should be even better this week. And I think he had like two or three sacks against them the first time we played them.
He actually didn't have any sacks. It was Chandler Jones had three and Jamie had 2.5.
Oh, that's what it was. Oh, it was the game after that. I think Sheard had like two against the Jaguars or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So anyway, there's a lot of depth on that front line. And then I think you and I both agree that Jamie Collins coming off an illness, you really can't expect much from him. Like even if he suits up, you still can't expect him to play.
Just from a strength and conditioning standpoint, I mean, it's tough to go through a virus like that and then expect to be what you were before that. It's not going to happen. You need like a couple weeks just to get back what you had.
Exactly. So even if he suits up, I would expect him to rotate in and out and have a moderate impact on the game, if that. But the good thing is we got a backup, and his name's Gerard Mayo, and he's really fucking good at stopping the run.
Yeah.
If there's one part of his game that's still really good, it's stopping the run.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's had one or two bad plays stopping the run this year, but, I mean, overall, Ben, I'd much rather him than Freeney in there.
Definitely. I think that...
I'd even have another safety in there over Freeney.
Man, you really hate Freeney. I don't really like him that much either on the defensive side.
I don't hate him. I just don't think he's very good at a lot of things.
Right.
He's a liability in too many other areas.
I'd also like to see John Bostic. I don't think it's Jonathan. I think it's just John. The guy we traded for from the Bears, who was a former second-round pick out of Florida.
Yeah.
He had like 80 tackles on the Bears last year or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him get more of a shot. I want to see Mayo first, then Bostic, and then if we have to, go back to Freeney.
Right. I'd probably agree with you there, too.
And then, obviously, right next door, you have Dante Hightower, who statistically is one of the best linebackers in the NFL. He's a fucking sledgehammer.
He really is. He's enormous.
And you can also creep in Patrick Chung, who's had a really good year in terms of run support as well as in coverage, but... I think that we're going to put enough focus and we have enough pieces in the front seven that we're going to be able to handle their rushing game. I mean, last time we played them, they put up 160 yards, which is a lot, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
43 of those came from Tyrod Taylor, and it's hard to tell if those were scrambles or those were design runs.
Yeah.
But LeSean McCoy had 15 carries for 89 yards. I mean, that's 6 yards a clip. We got to do a better job than that.
Mm-hmm.
But for reasons we had just stated, which are defensive tackles are playing well, the edge defenders are setting the perimeter better. I think we'll be able to at least contain it.
Yeah. I mean, LeSean McCoy's had some good games. He recently had a really good game, I think last week or 2 weeks ago. But, you know, I think we can definitely put a plug on that.
Their offensive line is pretty good. I mean, it's not great, but run blocking, it's good. Both of their tackles are like 6'6", 340. I mean, their tackles are built like Alan Branch. They're huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the interior, they got Eric Wood at center, who's a former first or second round pick. He's been there a long time. They got Richie Incognito at left guard, who has always been a really good running running blocker.
Yeah.
So they got the bodies up front to support a running game, but like we just said, we got the bodies on the defensive front to try to stop it.
To take care of it. Yeah, definitely. From a passing standpoint, how to defend that? You got Tyrod Taylor playing quarterback. He's been okay. I mean, he's got a pretty good pass rating at 106. I mean, his stats aren't off the charts, only 11 TDs to 4 interceptions, so he's not, you know, the most dangerous guy out there. But he's good. I mean, he can hurt you a little bit here and there. He can take his shots.
He's missed a few games also. That's why some of his stats are low.
Okay. And then their receivers, I mean, pass protection there. Pass protection for them has been, you know, okay. We saw in this game that we had a lot of sacks. So, I mean, I would expect that to kind of happen. Jamie Collins had 2.5, which you have to replace that production. Chandler Jones had 3, so you expect him to have a pretty good game too. And a couple other guys had 1 or 2 sprinkled in there. And their receivers haven't really done anything too exceptional.
Well, I mean, Sammy Watkins put up like a bucks, like 160 yards, I think, against the Dolphins a few weeks ago.
Right.
And that was essentially his coming out party after being injured for a few weeks himself.
And him saying that he wasn't getting enough targets, too.
Is that what he said?
You didn't hear that? Yeah, he was like, he basically said they're paying him. They traded up to get him. Why aren't they throwing him the ball?
Well, there you go.
So they started throwing him the ball.
There's a reason they traded up to get him in the top 5 last year. He's got all the skills of a number one receiver, and sometimes he plays like it. I had mentioned on the last podcast when he beat Darrell Revis for a clutch third down that sealed the game last week. I mean, he's got the skills as a number one receiver. I think that's the reason that we're probably going to put Malcolm Butler on him, even though that Sammy Watkins is more of he's built stronger than like an Odell Beckham is. Like Sammy Watkins is like 6 feet, 6'1", but he's like 215 built.
Yeah.
And whereas Odell Beckham is like 6 feet, 6'1", but maybe like 200 pounds, 205-ish, and more of a explosive, rangy guy, who I think matches up better with, or Butler matches up better against. But I think he'll do okay, at least, against Sammy Watkins.
I kind of do, too. I mean, and then, you know, we were always afraid of Percy Harvin. I don't. Has he been injured a lot this year or something?
He's on IR. He's done.
He's done?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's good to know at least.
Yeah, you don't even have to think about him.
Nope. Well, so they got him, Robert Woods, and Charles Clay. That's their 3 main targets, right?
Yeah, and also LeSean McCoy coming out of the backfield.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, Charles Clay leads the team in receptions with 40 right now.
Yeah, and he leads the team in targets too.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, it seems like he's, he's the security blanket on that team. And we've been pretty good at the tight end this year comparatively to other years.
Patrick Chung's been playing out of his skull, man.
Yeah, Pat Chung's been playing really well. So you put him on Charles Clay, you try and bottle that up just a little bit and take away, you know, those go-to throws. And then it's just defending Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins on the outside, really.
I mean, there's some other guys. Butler and Logan Ryan for that.
Right, and they've been both playing pretty good. I mean, a little more, probably shade some safety help over for Sammy Watkins, because Woods isn't really the long type. He's more of a possession type of guy.
Yeah, he doesn't have those afterburners.
Right. I mean, he's got 10.8 yards for receiving average. So yeah,
his longest catch on the season is 32 yards, whereas Sammy Watkins is 63 yards.
Right. So if you shade the safety help over there a little bit, you know. So if we do the front 7... You know, 7 guys up front, 5 guys in the back. I think we can bottle this up kind of nicely.
Yeah, and then you can walk Patrick Chung into the box if Clay is lining up there.
Right.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah. Have him. I mean, they've been sending Chung on blitzes too lately. I mean, and send the pressure. You know, they've given up 27 sacks this year. I mean, that's a good amount.
See, that's where I might disagree with you.
What?
Is, well, you know, we've talked a lot in the past about rushing the passer, but actually kind of containing the passer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the right approach here. I think
you'd rather them contain him.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at all the sacks Tyrod Taylor in particular, I can't speak to EJ Manuel, but Tyrod Taylor extends plays. He moves around in the pocket. You know, he's like Russell Wilson in that sense.
The controlled rush, yeah.
Yeah, a controlled rush is what we should bring. But like there, like Russell Wilson is always near the league leader in sacks taken. Mm-hmm. So is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's because they extend plays and hang on to the ball and wait for opportunities, and they don't play the position the same way Tom Brady and Peyton Manning do, where they hit that back foot and the ball's out.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
The sack numbers might be a little misleading in the sense that you don't want to be sent blitzing five guys or, you know, running too many stunts, and because that would allow escape routes for Tyrod Taylor to get out there and get outside the pocket, make plays out there, which is probably where he's best throwing the football, and also pulling the ball down and running. I mean, he runs like a 4.4 40.
Right.
You don't want that streaking down the field either.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay.
I'll say that's a good approach.
That little nice little rant, a little soliloquy.
Well, yeah, it made me think. Well, because you're right. I looked up the stat. You know, we sacked them so many times the last time we faced them. It was like, let's keep sacking them. But that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd feel like you want to create a little bit of a shell around him and then try to squeeze that shell.
Right. Try and catch him while he's not looking type of thing.
Especially because if Jamie Collins isn't going to be Jamie Collins this week, and then you want to QB spy him, I don't know who you have to do that. I mean, do you bring in, I mean, obviously you hope it's on like a 3rd and 10 where it's an obvious passing situation, and then you could bring in maybe a safety, maybe you bring in a Jordan Richards or somebody like that to QB spy him if that's the approach you want to go. But I mean, Hightower is a great player, but he's not the fastest linebacker, and that wouldn't be a good matchup for him.
Right. And you got to make up for those 2.5 sacks that Jamie had. So, you know, that's pretty big.
Send other people.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, we were a lot, you know, it's funny. The first time we talked about them, the first time we placed them, we were a lot more afraid of this offense. I don't know if, you know, some of that had to do with Percy Harvin being there.
Yep.
But I don't feel the same way at all this time around. You know, after the way they performed last time, how they've been performing, I think we can do a pretty good job against this.
And a heck of a lot of that had to do with our uncertainty on the back end. And now we know how well Butler is capable of playing. We've seen how consistent Logan Ryan has been at the number 2 spot.
Mm-hmm. So not phenomenal, but good enough. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We were reeling about we were a little worried about the secondary at that point in the season.
And things have definitely solidified a lot more so.
Yeah.
So it's a decent matchup for the Patriots. I mean, I think that we'll hold them to somewhere in the teens in terms of points.
Yeah, I agree too. Yeah, definitely.
Even though they put up 32 against us, and really, I mean, in that fourth quarter, they really looked like we couldn't stop them at all.
Yeah, that's true. But I think we'll take it to them.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different defense now. And plus, we're playing at home. You remember when we were playing in Buffalo, they were trying to set like the record for a loudest stadium? Do you remember they were doing that on week 2? Evidently not. So this Bills defense that we thought was going to be so vaunted, you know, all kinds of talent. I mean, how much money they spend on the defensive line. You got Rex Ryan behind that. Yep. And so far this year, they've been pretty middling defense.
Mediocre.
And when you look back at the thing that really stood out about the Patriots offensive game plan the first time they played the Bills was that we ran the ball like 6 times or something.
Yeah, we just spread it out and Brady got rid of the ball in like 2 seconds every single time.
Yeah, so we actually had 15 carries, 3 of which were by Tom Brady. I mean, 2 reverses to wide receivers, 10 carries from running backs, 2 of which were by Blunt, 7 by Deion Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
So we really didn't try to run the ball like at all.
At all. We just didn't even bother.
even in when we were like trying when we were trying to run clock at the end of the game and extend drives and you know
still didn't bother.
Yeah, still didn't really try to run the ball. It was weird. But I mean, do we have confidence that we can run the ball better now? Is Kyle Williams being out of the lineup that big a deal? If the Patriots offensive line comes back to full strength with Cannon and Vollmer on the edges and possibly Stork filling in the middle with Shaq Mason and Klein at the guard positions, are we that much better? Are we going to be able to run the ball?
I think a little bit, yeah. I don't know if it's to the point where, you know, we're that much better and more confident to, or more so that you kind of need to. I mean, you have to fill the production now of Deion Lewis and Julian Edelman, who totaled over 200 yards combined between the two of them. Edelman had two touchdowns. You have to fill that in somehow. And, I mean, we have the receivers. Amendola didn't have a big game the last time we met. But you got to take a little stress off Brady not having a security blanket in Edelman. And I think the way to do that, you got to get some kind of running game. I'm not going to say they're going to run for 20 or 30 times, but, you know, Blount for 12, 15 times. I mean,
and hand it off to a passing back sometimes.
Right. And I mean, yeah, and try, you know, get Bolden. I don't know about Bolden. I'm not really sold on Bolden as a running back. But or James White, you know, try and get him in there a little bit.
Well, yeah, you need to have at least that threat. If you're playing out of the shotgun like we play, you know, 50 to 75% of the time,
yeah,
there needs to be at least a semblance of a threat that you might run the ball.
Exactly.
So you need to do that a couple of times. And plus, depending on the personnel package we put out there, we might be able to go in the shotgun with a receiving back and have numbers in terms or have a size advantage. Like if they put Gronk and Chandler out there, and then have James White, the other team might look at that and say, oh, they're going to pass it. This is a passing formation or personnel grouping.
Yeah.
Whereas you can then try to run the ball out of that grouping with those two gigantic tight ends.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, you kind of went over their defense a little bit. We've talked about them briefly. And there's on the back end, you know, outside of the defensive line right now, they really don't have a lot that's really scary. You know, there's no players that you really have to actively avoid or anything like that. It's basically try and work around that defensive line, keep them in check, and you'll be okay. And we did that the first time because we got the ball out so quick. But, you know, Gronk had a real big game for the last game. 7 receptions, 113 yards, 1 TD. They don't have an answer. They didn't have an answer for him then. They probably don't have an answer for him right now.
Well, did you see what's his face came out? Stephon Gilmore said that they got an answer. They got a game plan for Gronk.
Yeah. I think I've heard that like 4 times this season.
I think they said it before the first matchup too. They're like, we're not going to forget to cover him because, you know, in the opener, the Steelers forgot to cover him.
Yeah. They didn't forget to cover him. He just didn't matter. He scored a bunch, you know, he got 7 receptions, like I said. Didn't matter.
Well, one of the things that they might try to do is really jam him hard. And that might mean taking a page out of Bill Belichick's book and using two guys to jam him at the line of scrimmage.
That's fine.
The Giants did that at least once last game. But the problem is that the weapons aren't around him like they were previously. I mean, Deion Lewis and Julian Edelman combined for 28 targets that first game. Brady threw to them 28 times. I mean, who's getting those 28 targets right now? I don't know. Is it James White? Is it Aaron Dobson? Is Brandon LaFell really that much of an upgrade over Aaron Dobson's 7 catches for 87 yards?
I think he might be. I mean, Brady's going to go at LaFell a lot, I think.
Yeah.
In these next coming games, I think, you know, LaFell, it kind of worked out nicely for us that LaFell, you know, got his feet wet the last two games, and now we need to rely on him. So he's, you know, kind of got his feet under him, and we're going to see what he can do with it. And I think Brady's going to try and rely on him a lot. Amendola almost, you know, barely played in this game, really didn't have much. I mean, he's, you know, Brady's comfortable with him. Brady's going to try and make him that Julian Edelman 8, 10, 11 throws or, you know, catches to him. Mm-hmm. Who knows if that works out or not, but I think Scott Chandler's going to have a game.
Against his former team?
I said it the first time because it was his former team, but, like, you know, it's to the point where, okay, we need him. If he starts producing, you know, that shapes a lot of other things up really well for us and, you know, makes a few things a lot easier on Brady. And what better game for him to go off against his former team?
I would agree. That two tight end offense gives you a lot of flexibility. And if he can really make himself a factor in the passing game, then that, I mean, that aids everything.
I mean, the guy did torch us a few times when he was on Buffalo. Like, why can't he do it, you know? And that was when, who, Fitzpatrick was throwing them the ball?
Yeah, maybe. It might have been Kyle Orton. I mean, who knows?
Right. So it's like, all right, come on, dude. It's time for you to get going. If he's going to get going at all this season, it's going to be now. If he can't get it all this season, it's going to be pretty apparent tomorrow because they're going to need him.
And by tomorrow, you mean Monday.
I'm sorry, Monday. Yes. Dobson, I don't know. You think I don't know if he's going to have a big game. I don't know if he's going to even get in the game. Probably a little bit.
He'll definitely get in the game. I mean, the thing is, we just don't know what it's going to look like. When you're going to have Gronk, LaFell, probably Amendola, and then a running back who's probably going to be James White, and then you got that fifth skill position that's going to be rotated between Dobson, Chandler, Michael Williams, possibly another running back, Chris Harper, Keyshawn Martin, depending on who's activated for the game. I mean, it's just about who's going to step up, who's going to be able to make plays. I mean, you could definitely have LaFell outside on one side and Dobson outside on the other. Or you could, I mean, I think in the last game, Dobson played a fair amount in the slot, and then you could have Gronk on the outside if you want to try to match him up with Ronald Darby, who's only 5'9". I mean, yeah. It's just going to be about who can step up. And most importantly, I think, is the reason that Brady was able to throw the ball 59 times against the Bills last time, against one of the best, you know, pass rush teams, at least at that point in the season, who we thought was going to be one of the best pass rush teams, mm-hmm. was because he was getting the ball out so quickly. And in order to get the ball out quickly, you need to have a great pre-snap read, and then you have to have receivers who can get open really fucking fast, like within 5 steps.
Yeah, and you got to trust them.
And, like, we just lost the two best guys who were good at that, Deion Lewis and Julian Edelman. And Danny Amendola can do that to some extent. But, I mean, Aaron Dobson, Brandon LaFell, Scott Chandler, these guys take a while to get open. And I'm a little concerned that it's going to force Brady to hold the ball a little bit longer, and then the pass rush is going to be more of an issue.
Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with you on that. I mean, I think us getting that offensive line back, or a lot of key members of the offensive line, is really going to help.
Definitely.
But, I mean, without Kyle, I mean, Kyle Williams is a big part of the team. That scare factor that defensive line had, not that just Kyle Williams out, just because they haven't been very consistent this year, really, you know, doesn't make much of an impression on me. I'm not, like, really afraid of it.
I suppose. I mean, this is a team in their last, 5 games. Six games. They lost to the Giants, gave up 24 points, barely beat the Titans, gave up 13 points, lost to the Bengals, gave up 34, lost to the Jaguars, gave up 34, beat the Dolphins, gave up 17, beat the Jets, gave up 17. I mean, they gave up 34 points to the Jaguars.
I mean, that's, yeah, not too good. I mean, the Jaguars have a good, you know, I don't know what they're doing right now, but they got some weapons on the outside, but yeah, and overall not too good.
That none of that says great defense. That all says middling defense.
Yeah. I mean, you look at sacks. I mean, the sack stats that they have, Marcell Dareus has 2, Jerry Hughes has 3, Mario Williams has 3, and then there's 1 or 2 other guys with 1. They have 14 overall. I mean, that's not too impressive. Jerry Hughes has 2 forced fumbles. Okay. But, you know, these are guys that all just got humongous contracts, not all of them in the offseason, but a lot of them. And, you know, Chandler Jones has almost as many as the whole team.
Yeah, 14 for the team, 10.5 for Chandler.
So, you know, the names really right now aren't backing up production. And I don't know if that's because all those teams are getting the ball out really quick or not, but I wouldn't say that Blake Bortles has the 2 or 3 second, you know, the 2 second release as Brady and Andrew Dalton, you know, Andy Dalton has. So
definitely not, especially those Jaguars receivers are down the field receivers.
Right. They need time to get open. So, and we have a better offense. I mean, if we get our offensive line back, that's better than the Jaguars. And, you know, they, like you said, they put up 34. So,
yeah. So pretty much what it all comes down to is we need both of those tackles back. We got enough interior linemen that we can feel comfortable even if Trey Jackson doesn't come back. But we can probably handle them. It's going to be difficult for our guys to get separation on the outside, particularly quickly. I mean, let's talk about their defensive backfields, which is pretty good. I mean, we'd said at the beginning of the year how Stephon Gilmore is a former like top 15 overall pick. He's more of a lengthy corner. He's good. He's going to be a tough matchup for Brandon LaFell. And then on the other side, they got Ronald Darby, who's a first-year player, second-round pick out of Florida State, a guy I really like going into the draft. And some people think he's already better than Stephon Gilmore is. I mean, he's one of the leading candidates for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So okay. I think he's more of an outside corner. I don't know if he'll follow Amendola into the slot. I think that he'll probably stay out wide and just play whoever we put out wide on him. But he's not the biggest guy, but he's a good defender.
Yeah.
So they got two pretty good cornerbacks. Leotis McKelvin, like I said, missed practice, but who knows if he'll be back. He's a cornerback. He's got cornerback coverage skills, and he's probably going to be at the safety position. Next to him, they got Corey Graham, who is one of their leading tacklers on the season as a strong safety. And behind him is Bakari Rambo, who is a safety. He was a great player at Georgia. And I think he just won AFC Defensive Player of the Year, or Defensive Player of the Week this past week. Really? He forced like two fumbles last Sunday.
Okay, yeah.
So their secondary, it might not have a ton of big names that you might know immediately, but it seems like it's a really solid secondary.
It's okay.
I think it's solid.
I'd say it's mediocre like the rest, like their defensive stats has shown.
Fair enough.
But that's me.
How do we match up? I think Stephon Gilmore matches up really well with the length of an Aaron Dobson, a Brandon LaFell, a Gronk, or a Scott Chandler, any of those guys on the outside. I think his length is really good. I think Ronald Darby plays a lot like Logan Ryan, and he might have a little bit more explosiveness, probably isn't as technically proficient as Ryan is right now. And then you got a couple good safeties, potentially.
Well, I mean, it all depends on how they cover Gronk, I think, is what it comes down to.
I think they're going to put two guys on him.
Well, if they put two guys on him, that's great, because that opens up one other person completely. Unless they just don't send anybody. They don't rush anybody. I mean, that's the kind of the way it works. I'm looking here. You know, it doesn't look like too many number ones have. It looks the top receivers of all their game, Buffalo's games, only one of them was a number one. I mean, for this, you know, it was, you got a Rob Gronkowski, Rashard Matthews. He's like second or third receiver on that team. Marvin Jones, he's the second or third receiver on that team. Eric Decker, he's the second receiver. So maybe Amendola goes off, or depending on who they put, I think Amendola or LaFell, one of them. You know, and if Gronk can get open, great, and hopefully Scott Chandler do something. Yeah, not all too worried, to be honest.
So you think they'll put up, what, like 30 points? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking like 31.
31.
They're not going to go all crazy because they're getting over some bumps, but I don't think they're going to really slow them down much.
I think it's a tough matchup. I don't know. At linebacker, they got Nigel Bradham, Preston Brown, Manny Lawson, none of which have a lot of name appeal, but evidently they've been playing reasonably well this season.
Yeah.
I mean, Manny Lawson, former number one pick for the Niners years and years ago.
That was a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, but he'll probably be part of the pass rush package with his speed and length. Nigel Bradham has laid some big hits. He's known as a pretty big hitter around the league, and Preston Brown's a fairly decent middle linebacker. And obviously, a lot of this defense is going to be shaped in Rex Ryan's, you know, quote unquote mastermind, where, you know, when he'll have like eight guys standing at the line of scrimmage,
yeah,
and it'll turn into a three-man pass rush, that type of stuff. Or you'll see like two guys down, and then all of a sudden there'll be three blitzers coming off the left side.
Yep.
Like there's going to be some exotic looks. And luckily, we got the number one offensive brain on the field.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Brady will see it. He'll find the matchup. I mean, that's the thing. The matchups aren't as favorable this time around, but he's going to find it.
And then, make no mistake about it, he's going to get fooled at least once, if not several times in this game, and you're going to see him take a sack or two.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say he was going to throw a pick. I don't think he's going to throw. I hope he doesn't throw a pick.
Yeah, I'd hesitate to say that.
I don't think he will, but I don't know. Yeah, I mean, taking a sack, I mean, that's going to happen, but... Okay, so what's your prediction here?
I got 27 for the Patriots, 16 for the Bills.
Okay. Yeah. I'm saying 31-13. I feel like that's a score that usually comes around for the Patriots-Bills.
31-13, what, though? Like the mirror image of each number?
No, I just feel like I've seen that score versus the Bills a lot, so I'm going to go with that.
Okay, real scientific over there. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you have it, folks. We got it to you this week. We were thinking about doing it next week, but you know, we'll go over this Sunday's games in next week's wrap-up.
Yep.
So just, you know, hold out hope. You'll eventually get our opinions on this week's games.
Yeah, it'll happen.
All right. That'll do it. This is the Week 11 preview of the 2015 NFL football season. Patriots are 9-0, hosting the 5-4 Buffalo Bills for the right... or. They're not really playing for much of anything right now other than the undefeated season and the continued progress in the AFC.
Actually, Rex already has crowned the Patriots victors of the division.
Good for him. At least he's realistic.
Honest. Yeah. That's basically what he said. So, yeah.
It's one of the few times I'm ever proud of Rex.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right, folks. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Adios.